Hello and welcome to Profiles in Risk. This is your host, Tony Cañas, and today I'm pitching the second one of a doubleheader. And I have with me Zach Mefford, CEO and co-founder at Sip Bonds. And we're trying to keep today's episode short because Zach is recovering from some sort of bad cold. This is the last thing holding me before going and get amazing Argentinian steak for dinner. So
I don't want to stop you from that, and thank you. Yeah, I'm recovering from whatever I picked up during Thanksgiving.
Fun. And we are recording on November 29th, the week after Thanksgiving. Zach, so we've halfway met, didn't really meet. We've seen each other at ITC, but first time we actually have a chance to sit down and chat. We always give the guests the chance to give the elevator pitch. Yeah. What is Sip Bonds?
Yeah, so Sip Bonds is a surety bond brokerage that just happens to be attached to a very open and capable digital platform that allows us to connect to basically anything that we want to connect it to. But at the end of the day, you know, what we're here to do is to serve agents and help them, you know, become subject matter experts or have a resource to become subject matter experts in surety. It was a problem that I personally faced as a commercial insurance producer where, you know, I'd get these larger and larger at-bats, especially with contractors and working through these and some of the opportunities that I would come across. I just didn't have the surety, in-house surety solution that I needed to be able to compete with some of these bigger shops that are brokers. And so, when I went out to try to find this solution for ourselves and the insurance agency that we started from scratch, you know, and as well as just what I had as a producer, you know, when I worked for someone else, I couldn't find exactly what I was looking for. So, you know, I could find bits and pieces of it, but nothing was a one-stop shop. And so when I couldn't find it, that's when the light bulb kind of went off. And I said, I want to create this solution to help agents, you know, really find a better way and a better solution for their clients when it comes to surety.
Okay, and I see that you started as a captive agent.
Yeah.
So was that when you faced the problems?
No.
Or was it once you became independent?
Yeah, no. So this is my story. You know, I'm Zach with the khakis, right? State Farm Zach. It's funny as I was, you know, I had started a small business and then moved back to, I moved to Chicago to be with my, what is now wife, you know, trying to figure that all out. And yeah, I was going to go into headhunting, transportation logistics, or insurance. And insurance was the first to hire me. And then, you know, I got into the whole State Farm thing. Thinking like, look, the reason I would pick those is because I wanted to be an entrepreneur again. I'm wired like an entrepreneur. I've always been one. And I wanted to find something that was more sustainable than what I was, you know, currently doing before that. And once I didn't know the difference between independent and captive. You know, insurance was insurance. Like, I didn't know.
Yeah, nobody outside of insurance knows that, yeah.
Right. And although I'm thankful for my little over a year there at State Farm, because if you can learn how to sell something captive, I think you can sell basically anything. I quickly realized that the captive side was not going to be, you know, a fit for me. And I also was, not really challenged as much as I'd like to have been, you know, with the mostly personal lines and life insurance section, options that State Farm had. So, you know, when I looked to move back home, when we decided we wanted to start a family, commercial insurance really, you know, appealed to me because it appealed to the entrepreneur in me. I was meeting with other business owners all day long, and that's something I really enjoyed. So, no, I didn't run into surety too much. In fact, license permit bonds, you know, that we wrote at State Farm, that was my first probably introduction to surety, although at the time it really wasn't catching my attention. Where I really came across it for the first time is you know, I jokingly say my training as a commercial producer was, here's a phone book, start calling and, you know, being an expert in something.
Not unusual. Yeah. To this day, not unusual.
And I mean, it's not that I'm condoning this, but there is a really quick way to figure out if somebody's going to make it or not, because if they can't set those appointments, the rest of it's really not going to matter. So I think, you know, that was kind of the people I worked for, that was their, they'd been through a lot of, you know, producers that didn't make it, and they didn't want to spend a whole lot of time training and get them all ready to go if they couldn't get the appointments first. So, you know, it stuck it out, it worked, but I gravitated towards contractors. I liked that, you know, demographic. It just appealed to me, and I felt like that was something I could build a lot of good relationships with, and, you know, as I became more and more successful in closing bigger accounts and being referred to larger accounts, that's when I started realizing that there were shops that had a dedicated, you know, benefits division, a dedicated surety division, and that was completely foreign to me. And so, you know, and at the time, you know, being young and just thinking I could figure anything out, I just thought I could figure it out. And And to some extent, I did, but I never was a subject matter expert, and I couldn't quite understand at the time. I know now what it is, but that's my favorite part about doing this with like talking to agents, is I understand what it's like to not know what the difference is between surety and insurance, and getting frustrated by that, and trying to understand why some markets want some things and others don't. What's all there. So that's when I was really, first introduced to the problem, if you will.
Okay, and so now, have you fully transitioned to only SIP bonds? You don't do PNC commercial lines anymore?
No, I don't do any of that anymore. So we started a scratch agency in 2016. That's then we then transitioned to partnering with credit unions only. And so Coverage Direct is now what's called a credit union service organization. We basically have created a platform for credit unions to provide insurance services if they want it. And I still am a board member there and still advise on certain things, but my day-to-day is spent here at Zip Bonds. That's my sole focus.
Okay, perfect. So the platform sounds like it's kind of your big advantage.
So I thought so, right? I think that that's kind of a misconception that's what it is. I wish we could see it utilized in the way that we built it out to be capable of using. So far, honestly, the majority of the business that we see from agents that want to come through is just somebody that really wants to. The best agents are the ones that want us to help them, become the subject matter expert. And whether it connects to their system or not is really, to them, irrelevant. So, although I think we've built a pretty robust system and we have a lot of different ways of utilizing it. Unfortunately, we haven't utilized it as much as I'd like to. But I'm hoping in the future that's going to change. A lot of our efficiencies have been built on the back end for us to streamline the whole underwriting process.
Okay, so for now, a lot of the business comes in with agents basically going like, how does this work?
I mean, we get a lot of our first time agents that we work with will say, "Hey, I had this one bond come up. I don't know what it is. I don't know how to find a solution for it. I reached out to some peers and they said that you did a really good job for them on whatever." That's how we start, right? And then we hopefully have done a really good job with that option for them, and then anything else that comes up, because most of the agents that we see aren't doing a ton of bonds. They get some as few as 5 to 10 a year, and the better ones are doing a few hundred a year. But it's just a matter of getting that first at bat, creating a really great experience, and then building from there.
Okay, what's been the reception like?
I think a lot of time it's relief. They're relieved to be able to find something where they don't have to worry about it. I think people overthink surety. They those who don't quite understand it, they take the time to understand it maybe that one time, but then they forget the next time they need it. So just knowing that they don't have to worry about it, they're relieved, and knowing that they have that person behind the scenes that can help them with it. I'd like to say that they're typically happy with the experience. We get a lot of that feedback from agents, but I think if I'm being honest, it's relief, relief that they have someone that can just take care of it and get it off their desk.
Okay, and I do have to say that the website is very friendly in a few different ways. First, it has good education on the different types of bonds and a quick start guide for the different types of bonds. And even though it's a platform, the 800 number is right there at the top.
So Tony, well, here's what I do. I challenge my team every single time that they want to develop something different. I say, from a UX perspective, I want you to make this so easy that my mom can figure out how to find whatever you're looking for. And if you can't make it that easy, then we haven't done the job right.
Okay, so not being an agent myself and looking only at kind of the front end, it does look real easy.
Yeah, and the agency portal is very similar to that. There's just going to be some things you're going to have access to you want on the front end, like you're going to have your commissions, your renewals, business submitted, and we have the ability to push. We have an API that can push into different systems. I think that's the real value add eventually to be able to get there. But again, we have to have enough people have or we have to have agents have enough volume to really make some of that make sense. And then, there's always that embedded option that everyone's talking about right now of figuring out ways to make it so it's just there as an option. I'd love to start working with more agents that understand that you can offer a business services bond every single time you sell a GL policy. I can definitely help agents that want to maybe provide a quick, you know, pre-qualification on a contract, like a surety capacity option to any of the contractors they work with. I think, you know, just starting with the current book of business, we could help agents find different opportunities that they probably are overlooking right now.
Okay, so hey agents, if you do a lot of business that is the type that requires bonds and you're not their bond go-to,
yeah, someone is.
You are leaving business on the table and you are risking the PNC side of that business.
Yep, it's that too. And I think, I don't know, you said that you hadn't produced before, but one of the things that's, you know, I think overlooked often is even if you, you know, get that surety at some point with PNC and eventually maybe lose the PNC for a while, oftentimes that surety stays there because it's very sticky business. You know, not a lot of, especially these larger, you know, contractors like the ones that initially made me aware of this issue. You know, they don't want to have to go through that whole process with a whole lot of people. We try to make it as simple as possible, and so that way you're not dealing with this, you know, large amount of paperwork or follow up every year to, you know, confirm or increase your capacity for projects you might want to work on.
Okay, fantastic. Zach, thank you for your time today. I do have to say, we chatted for like 5 minutes before, and I neglected to realize that you are a fellow Cyclone.
That's what I was going to ask you. You said you were in. Oh, man.
Yes, I was there twice. In fact, I was there kind of at the same time you were, 03 to 06.
Okay.
So it looks like based on your LinkedIn, we've had 2 years there together, and you got to enjoy Jardine more than me because I started not in Jardine, and then I finished in Jardine, and then I went back and got my MBA.
Yeah.
I was working in Des Moines and driving up on Saturdays because they had a Des Moines option and an Ames option. So I did it on Saturdays 08 through 2011, and that time I did get to enjoy Jardine a lot.
So were you one of those classic Iowa State students that started as an engineer and then became a business major? Is that what they?
Computer science. Yes.
I love that.
Yes. I showed up sure that knowing one thing, that I wanted to be a programmer, and I left having realized that I can't do math.
No.
And like computer science back. At that time was boring compared to now because it was before the iPhone revolution.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of mainframe work.
Yeah.
So I'm actually very glad that I ended up not pursuing that option.
You see my Cyclone, I got my Matt Campbell signed football right here, and then the helmet, and then my diploma up there somewhere. So yeah.
Fantastic.
I think Iowa State fans here.
And I did a campus tour last year. My brother's going to school right now. He ended up at KU, which is a Big 12 school. So now we go watch the game every year. So I was in Ames just after ITC this year to watch the game, which we lost.
Which that was still a good game though, a night game in Kansas.
Yeah.
Often it's usually in basketball, but. Next time you're up, you gotta let me know, man. We get together and go enjoy some cycling sports.
Awesome. So anyway, thank you very much for your time today, and hopefully I'll see you at ITC.
Hey man, you enjoy that steak, all right? Have a good night.
Awesome. And hold, don't hang up yet. Don't.